This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. And let's begin today with the opioid addiction crisis in Massachusetts. This week, we learned of a grim milestone. According to the Department of Public Health, the number of deaths caused by opioid overdoses last year is expected to top 2,000 for the first time. That means that each day, an average of nearly six people inject, smoke, or snort a drug and never wake up. Here's Mary Lou Sutters, the State Secretary of Human Services.
The fact that the absolute number would appear to be just over 2,000 in 2016 is a sobering reminder that we still have a lot more work to do to bend the trend of opioid death.
We learned of those numbers as President Trump named five members to a White House commission to combat the opioid crisis, including Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker and former Rhode Island Congressman Patrick Kennedy. And joining us now to talk about what remains a vexing health crisis in Massachusetts and across the country is WBUR health reporter Martha Biebinger. And Martha, thanks for coming in.
Sure, Anthony.
So let's start with these numbers and put the headline figure into perspective. A projected 2,069 people who died from opioid-related overdoses in 2016. That sounds like a big number.
It is a big number. It's the first time that the number of deaths in one year has crossed 2,000. There are some signs of hope, though, Anthony. That 2,069 people is a 16% increase over 2015. But the rate of increase is actually slowing. So total number rising, but it's not rising quite as fast. And some people see hope in that.
I see. So, but it's still increasing, but the curve of this increase is bending. But what's driving this increase? How much of it is tied to fentanyl versus other drugs?
Right. So this is a controversial area, but some people think that the curve would actually be bending a lot faster if we weren't dealing with so much fentanyl. 78% of the deaths included fentanyl. And fentanyl is a very fast-acting opioid. It can kill people within seconds. So there's very little time from the point at which you see someone go out to the point at which they get care. Often they'll need it in a hospital to completely revive them because fentanyl is hard to reverse with that naloxone drug that many of the EMTs, all of the EMTs carry now. So if we weren't seeing as much fentanyl, perhaps we wouldn't see as many deaths. The rates of heroin use are down. Benzodiazepines, drugs that people mix, which can increase the chances of an overdose, are down. But fentanyl, that really strong opioid, is killing a lot of people.
Hmm. So what do we know about how these numbers here in Massachusetts compare to what's happening nationally?
We don't have real-time or pretty close to real-time data nationally. The Baker administration is doing a laudable job of getting out data very quickly these days. So what we can compare nationally goes back to 2015. And there, if you look at what's reported to the Centers for Disease Control, Massachusetts was not in the top five states. It may be now. It's hard to tell exactly what's happening. But Rhode Island, New Hampshire, states around us have always had traditionally high rates, along with West Virginia, Kentucky, Ohio, some other states in the Rust Belt.
So you mentioned efforts here under Governor Charlie Baker. The President Trump, has named five members of this commission aimed at tackling the opioid epidemic, including Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker. What specifically is the goal of this commission? What's its purpose?
Well, they're going to meet and issue a report with recommendations about how to address the opioid epidemic. And a lot of people are frustrated by that because they say we don't need more meetings. We have the former U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy, who was just pushed out by the Trump administration, who had issued a sweeping report earlier this year. There's lots known about what needs to be done. And this commission is going to start meeting soon, hopefully, expected to issue a report by next year. But there's no now, in their mission. There's talk and listen.
I see. All right. And what do you make of the fact that Governor Baker, as well as a couple of other people with Massachusetts ties, are on this panel? Is that a reflection of how well Massachusetts is responding to this crisis, or what do you make of that?
I don't know if it's a reflection of the response, but it's definitely a reflection of the activity here. So Governor Baker was very instrumental in passing legislation last year that launched a 7-day limit on prescriptions, first-time opioid prescriptions. That was new and different. The Massachusetts Medical Society has endorsed the idea of supervised injection sites. That's something that's unique among medical societies around the country. We're a wealth of research on addiction, so Dr. Bertha Madras is part of that community and certainly makes sense for somebody to be in that space. Representative Kennedy, former congressman from Rhode Island, another state with very high opioid addiction rates. So we are seeing a lot of representatives from states that are dealing with this on a daily basis.
And Martha, in terms of what more needs to be done, I want to hear one more time from Health and Human Services Secretary Mary Lou Sutters about her take on what needs to happen. Let's just listen for a moment.
We need to think bolder and with different strategies. And there's a lot of discussion around safe injection sites, looking at having Narcan in sort of emergency boxes in places like Cambridge. And we are open to all of these ideas.
So talk a little bit about what she's talking about. First of all, safe injection sites and looking to have Narcan in emergency boxes in places like Cambridge, right?
Right. So Secretary Sutter says the face of the epidemic is changing and we need to consider some things that may have been unthinkable a few years ago. Supervised injection site is not something that you would expect to hear a Republican administration say, sure, let's see the science. Let's look at the proof. Tell me if this is going to work. The problem is, of course, that some of these things are illegal and it will be tricky to carve a space forward that addresses law enforcement and public health concerns.
Interesting. Martha, obviously this is a huge and vexing crisis that's been with us for a long time and looks like it will continue to be with us for a long time to come. This may be a huge and open-ended question, but you've been looking at this for so long. Why? Why does it continue to challenge us the way it does? What's your view on that?
There are lots of strains there, Anthony. There's the biology of addiction, which we still don't completely understand. What percent of the population gets addicted to what kinds of substances and why that happens. There's a lot of interesting research happening there. Then you go all the way from there to on the ground where we see the Chinese and Mexican the Mexican cartels through the Chinese developing new forms of fentanyl that are becoming more and more deadly. So you're seeing this terrible confluence of people struggling with addiction and drugs that really almost no one can survive.
Well, it's a difficult story. WBUR's health reporter Martha Biebinger does a great job covering it. Thank you for coming in and talking to us
today. Thank you, Anthony.